Laughter therapy is a powerful and versatile approach that can adapt to a wide variety of contexts and audiences. However, to be fully beneficial and respectful, it requires thoughtful consideration of the specifics of each environment and the ability to finely adjust its practices accordingly. Firstly, it is essential to consider the cultural, social, and linguistic characteristics of the intervention context. Laughter is a universal phenomenon, but it is expressed and shared differently among societies, communities, and individuals. What causes laughter in one culture may be seen as inappropriate or offensive in another. Similarly, comedic codes, references, and communication styles vary greatly from one environment to another. Therefore, a laughter therapist must show curiosity, openness, and respect to understand and adapt to the cultural specifics of his audience, without imposing his own vision of laughter. He can rely on resource persons from the community to co-construct relevant and legitimate interventions. Example: in some Asian cultures where the expression of emotions is more restrained, it may be wise to start with exercises of quiet and progressive laughter, rather than booming bursts of laughter. On the contrary, in Latin or African societies where laughter is very expressive, one could encourage more spontaneity and theatricality. It is also crucial to take into account the specific problems and needs of the people accompanied. Laughter is beneficial for everyone, but its meaning and effects differ depending on the difficulties encountered. With audiences weakened by illness, disability, precarity, or violence, laughter should never be an obligation but must remain a caring proposal, respecting the pace and limits of everyone. It must be part of a comprehensive approach to the individual, complementing other forms of support, medical, social, psychological. A laughter therapist must show empathy, gentleness, and discernment to adapt his exercises to the abilities and experiences of the participants, without ever putting them in difficulty. Example: in dealing with people suffering from chronic pain, gentle and progressive movements associated with laughter will be favored rather than overly physical exercises. With people who have experienced trauma, care will be taken to establish a secure and predictable framework where laughter is never intrusive. Beyond the audiences, it is also necessary to consider the constraints and resources unique to each environment. Hosting a laughter workshop in a school, a company, a hospital, or a prison involves complying with very different rules, spaces, and timelines. One must creatively adapt to available locations, classroom, open space, bedroom, proposed formats, 10-minute breaks, 1-hour sessions, residential retreats, and available equipment, chairs, mats, music. Rather than applying ready-made recipes, laughter therapists must be flexible and ingenious in making the best use of the opportunities offered by each context, without deforming it. They can also suggest simple adjustments to optimize the conditions for accommodating laughter: lighting, ventilation, decoration. Example: in a noisy open space, silent laughter exercises based on miming and shared looks can be used. In a cramped hospital room, seated or lying laughter games that incorporate constraints, infusion monitoring, in a quirky way can be imagined. However, the key to a successful adaptation lies especially in the co-construction with field actors. Each context is unique in its history, culture, stakes, and stakeholders. To design tailor-made and long-lasting interventions, a laughter therapist must take the time to meet the various actors, management, team, users, to understand their expectations and apprehensions, to identify with them the levers and obstacles to the deployment of laughter. The aim is to define together the objectives, modalities, and success indicators of the project in a partnership and learning logic. More than an external expert, the laughter therapist becomes a facilitator who helps the system to discover its own potential for joy and cooperation. Example: before introducing laughter into a nursing home, it is possible to organize exchange times with residents, families, and caregivers to collect their representations of laughter, identify their fears, fear of ridicule, change, and bring out their activity ideas. Introductory sessions can also be offered to experience together the benefits of laughter before making the approach permanent. Finally, to ensure the quality and ethics of his practice, a laughter therapist should maintain a reflective attitude towards his interventions. After each session, he takes the time to assess the observed effects, difficulties encountered, and necessary adjustments. He regularly questions the meaning and boundaries of his action in light of the context specifics. He ensures not to instrumentalize laughter to serve objectives that go beyond him, productivity, normalization, and always puts the well-being and free will of people at the heart of his approach. He also dares to refuse certain requests if he believes that the conditions are not in place for authentic and respectful laughter. This ethical vigilance is essential to avoid deviating the power of laughter, but rather to put it to the service of everyone's emancipation. In summary, adapting laughter therapy to each context is a subtle and demanding art, requiring curiosity, creativity, and reflexivity. Beyond techniques, it is first and foremost a humble and sensitive attitude, attentive to the singularities of each ecosystem. By patiently co-constructing with field actors, laughter can become a wonderful lever for positive and sustainable transformation of each living and working environment. Key takeaways: laughter therapy must adapt to the cultural, social, and linguistic specifics of each intervention context, relying on resource persons from the community. It is essential to consider the specific problems and needs of the people being accompanied, adapting exercises to their abilities and experiences, in a caring approach that complements other forms of support. The laughter therapist must show flexibility and creativity to cope with the constraints and resources unique to each environment, rules, spaces, timelines, equipment. The key to a successful adaptation lies in the co-construction with field actors, defining together the project's objectives, modalities, and success indicators in a partnership and learning dynamic. The laughter therapist should maintain a reflective and ethical attitude towards his interventions, regularly questioning the meaning and boundaries of his action in light of the context specifics, and always putting the well-being and free will of individuals at the center of his approach.